You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. I know it's been a while since we have all met to talk about the AFL, a couple of weeks. Finally wanted to get back into the swing of things here and talk about very interesting, obviously, with the league coming, with the playoffs coming up. Teams have already clinched, but yet the league still can surprise us each and every week, looking specifically, with teams that you don't normally think are going to totally surprise you, but we've had just that. I mean, you have the Chicago Rush, who have basically been the Bobby Scipio show the entire year. They've had to deal with him being out with an ankle injury for the past couple weeks, and they've shown their true mettle to see how, how they can find ways to win. On the reverse side of it, you had a very promising team in the Grand Rapids Rampage at the year's beginning. It didn't work out for the Rampage, but you have this team that has swept the season series versus the high-powered cut. Now, that's an oxymoron this year, but the high-powered Colorado Crush. It's not something that you would specifically think that they would have the ability to do, considering that how good the Colorado Crush is when it comes to scoring and whatnot. You don't think of them losing two straight to the Grand Rapids Rampage, but so many things have happened, and before we, we'll bring you up to date on all the normal stuff that we usually do. We'll bring you up to date on the pick'em, the AFL Tonight Pick'em Supremacy 8-Ball versus the Humans. We're going to bring you up to date on the AFL scoring and averages and whatnot, since we haven't done that in part of the past couple of weeks. We want to bring you up to speed on a couple of things first that have happened over the past couple of weeks that you may have missed if you haven't been following the AFL, and who hasn't, right? It sounds really facetious, doesn't it? Everybody's going to be following the league? First and foremost, we actually had Shedrick Bonner, and it's one thing that we actually missed a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about the 800 club. 800 career passing touchdowns in a season. And we talked about Andy Kelly. We talked about Clint Dozell. We actually forgot about Shedrick Bonner. He actually was able to go ahead and pass 800 touchdowns and join that elite club, with Aaron Garcia back at the helm for the New York Dragons. And actually, he's actually putting up quite a good pace. He is, I'm sure, going to be getting very close to that elusive, or that next milestone, rather, of 800 touchdowns. Also, for the fifth time in AFL history, we have a head coach reach 100 career wins in the league, and that goes to a San Jose Sabercat head coach, Darren Arbet. Surprisingly, with Arbet, he was able to do it with one team. Not very many coaches you could see that are able to do something like that. You talk about, looking at Tim Markham with Tampa Bay Storm. Remember, his career did not start off with the Tampa Bay Storm. But congratulations to Darren Arbet. I have heard that he is probably one of the nicest head coaches you could ever meet. I would say next to Mike Hohensee. Congratulations on becoming, fifth head coach to reach 100 wins in the AFL. An interesting thing happened in Vegas a few weeks ago, and I'm sure a lot of you already know specifically about this. The Gladiators are just a very horrible team. You bring in a rookie quarterback, in Sean King. You pay him, the second most salary in the AFL. No history at all. Basically, all of his history goes back to being with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But all of a sudden, they say, we're having a horrible season. You're gone. Now, you would think that whenever an organization fires a head coach and all of their staff, they're going to do a total turnaround right there and then. That's not the case. I just don't understand what Vegas is thinking. Maybe it's a cost-saving measure. Maybe they are getting their boxes in order for the move to Minnesota, to Miami, to the Bahamas, to any city right now. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not the NIFL. But anyways, they kept the staff on. I do not understand what the owner Ferraro is thinking. Yeah, it has to be a cost-saving measure. It has to be, if you think about it. You know what? You're fired. You suck. But you know what? Would you mind staying a couple of weeks so we can make sure that we sort of get the right guy and maybe you can give a little bit of input on what you think about the head coach and go from there? Come on. That's just as bad as the NIFL. I can't believe that the head coach has, I guess it's too much pride. I don't know if it's necessarily in the team. I know they do have some great fans in Las Vegas. But come on! You fire a head coach, get rid of him. Interim coach, mind you, they did fire the entire head coaching staff. So I don't think it really matters what they did. So I guess they had to do something. Funny thing is, would spur them on to a win. Not only that. I mean, Vegas is still bad, but it spurred them on to a win, and it was an upset win on top of that versus the Utah Blaze. Oh, my head hurts just thinking about it. Nashville. Last thing. Nashville has changed their name of their arena once again. First it started off as the Nashville Arena. Went to the Gaylord Entertainment Center. Went to the Nashville Arena. And now it's the SoMe Center. S-O-M-M-E-T. SoMe. Not SoMet. It's French. Whoa. Ooh la la. N'est-ce pas? No. But, it's all about money. And, the cast really didn't have any choice, I don't think, about it when it can, concerning it. It had to do with the arena. It had to do with that's actually funny about, now that I think about this, with the Natural Predators being sold, and the Cats being a tenant of the arena, what happens if the Predators do move to possibly Canada or wherever? So, I mean, what's it contingent on? It's about money. They weren't able to get, they were trying to get rid of the GEC name as quickly as possible. That's why they went ahead and they went to, called it the Nashville Arena again. But talk about money. So we have a lot to talk about. It money is one of the things that we're going to bring up. But, first and foremost, I want to say, while we are broadcasting this show, I am wearing my brand new Colorado Crush replica Damien Harrell jersey. And I want to go ahead and give a quick shout out to Santa Crush, who was so gracious in helping me get a jersey. And I just want to, as I said, I've made the comment almost everywhere that I can since I received it, But again, I just want to my thanks to him, and hopefully I will be able to if he does come to Arena Bowl, hopefully I'll be able to shake his hand and say, I don't have your money. I was wondering if I could sell you, trade you for the bridge here. I really got to stop the comedy. Maybe a couple weeks off actually sort of rejuvenated myself, but anyways. I also want to give a shout-out to you, the fans, who emailed me, making sure that I was okay. It's nice to know that there are people out there who do listen to the show, and yes, I'm okay. As you can see, I am still doing the show, but I just wanted to say thank you for the kind words, and hopefully, crossing my fingers here, I will be able to continue to do the show each week for the rest of the season leading up to Arena Bowl 21 in Vegas. Wrong city, wrong year, Capper. In New Orleans. I'm set. We're ready to go. Me and the wife are going to head down to the Big Easy, catch us a football game, and just have some fun with the fans. So, just want another reminder, too. Also, if you have anything you want to mention to us, you can do so at the Arena Fan message boards, or you can email us. You can go over to, you can email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com, and questions, concerns, comments, whatever it may be, I will be more than happy to go ahead and answer your questions on the air, or try to be able to answer your particular issues or whatnot. So, first and foremost, it is, as I say, anything can happen in the AFL. And we were talking about it earlier before, we're talking about, you know, the Gaylor Entertainment Center and whatnot. I don't know how many of you have actually noticed. If you've seen some of the previous press releases put out by the league, they happen to be mentioning that, let's take a game for this week. Wrong recap. The Orlando Predators are going to be taking on Mitsubishi Western Division leading San Jose SaberCats. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm thinking, what the hell is this? Well, lo and behold, and it seems like nothing is sacred. You know, you see all the ads on soccer jerseys. You see the sponsorship patches on the league jerseys also. I'm trying to think of something else in particular that has been given as World Bowl has a sponsor. But I don't think I've ever seen this sort of thing with the, Russell Athletic, ESPN, AFL, Monday Night Football. Okay, that I can totally understand. You've heard on, sure you've heard on the radio, this extra point was brought to you by so-and-so. This timeout was brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken. But I just find that the Arena Football League has basically turned into the place ad here Arena Football League. Basically, selling naming rights to any and all suitors who want to get their name, sponsor the league in some way or some forth, or the league has come up with a way to say, you know what? We've already named our field. We've already given away the rights to television. We can't name Sirius Satellite Radio. I know. Let's go ahead and let you guys be able to put your name on all all of our divisions. Ta-da! That's exactly what they've done. And it's so cheap and cheesy. I saw this for the first time when, we're able to see the information that we get here at Arena Fan. We're able to see it specifically from, you know, all the graphics that we are able to use. I saw that Mitsubishi becoming one of the sponsors of the league. That's great. You know, the past couple of years, you know, whether it was Ford, whether it was Honda, you know, Honda did specifically the playoffs a couple of years back. Mitsubishi became a partner in the AFL. But, oh man, come on. Who wants to name their divisions? You know, I saw this and it's like, God, this could easily be a very long and large rant, this type of thing. I mean, okay, you got your field naming rights. That I can understand. Many teams have done it, you know, current and defunct. You know, it's become a normal thing. You know, Denver has one. Toronto, when they were around, has one. Orlando has one. But man, come on. There's no, you know how funny that can sound? I'm curious, I've seen in the press releases for the league. I've not seen it actually mentioned on television. I was trying to watch the broadcast for this past week's game on ESPN 360. I wasn't able to get through to watch the game, but coming up specifically, you know, the next couple weeks on ESPN on the games, it's gonna be a lot of Western Division matchups. Are we gonna be continuously hearing? Now, I don't know unless it's gonna have to do with the playoffs or in particular, but are we gonna continuously hear that San Jose is leading the Mitsubishi Western Division with a record of blah blah blah? They've done it for every division. I don't know. Watch the league press releases when it comes to specifics. You know, check the press releases on ArenaFan. If necessary, go to the league site and watch and read them. But man, I can't. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it makes us look bush. I don't know if it makes us look minor league, and this is that, you know, that's a term that fans in the AFL do not, you know, we're considered a pro football indoor league. Okay? It makes us look minor league when you see that. You know, sure, we've been on NBC. You know, sure, we're now on ESPN. Yes, we have a video game. You know, 2 years running. Naming your divisions, people. Come on. I'm sure there could have been some other constructive way that the league have gone ahead and given Mitsubishi the naming rights the naming rights for something. You know what's next? You know what's going to be? You know what's going to be? The Arena Bowl is going to be named something. Unless it's going to be Arena Bowl 21 brought to you by or presented by Mitsubishi. Which, as we're seeing, obviously now with, you know, the naming rights for bowl games, this could easily, it could be a reality. It's just very, very frustrating. I don't know what to say. It's just a killer here, people. God, I've been rambling on for this long. Another thing, and this is something that I found to be very interesting. It has popped up recently. It was a story in the Sports Business Journal this week. We knew it was coming. I don't know the specifics. I'm going to try to get the specifics. I've seen some information somewhere. The patent for the Arena Football League, let me get the actual terminology here, because it's interesting, because here we go. So we've had the patent for the game system since 1990. You know, and this is basically, I think, what allowed the Arena Football League to become the known league. You know, the league that it is for the quirky nets, you know, and whatnot. You know, mind you, it's also made for some very accurate kickers. It's also given us some of the interesting aspects of the game that we have become to love as Arena Football League fans. How can this change what the league is, what the league is going to be? You know, can there be a competitor to the AFL with this? It's possible. But come September 30th, this patent, you know, the Manila, where it all started off on the Manila envelope, which I'm sure we've heard the story many, many a time. You know, it could easily allow imitations to possibly pop up. Now, mind you, indoor football in its entirety is a total offshoot of the AFL. But allowing them, you know, you got allowing them to be able to take the net and use the nets to, in some form. Now, these nets are not cheap, but I do not, you know, with the way that some of these indoor leagues work, they're a little bit different. You know, even though we've had the rule changes and whatnot, you know, geared to more running or whatnot. And anyways, that we've talked about that, in, you know, ad infinitum. But will, you know, will it take away what the Arena Football League is? I don't think so, personally. I mean, it did give the league the edge that it needed in order to build the brand, as I mentioned. But I don't know. It mentioned in the story that the league's going to obviously try and protect themselves, protect the type of game that they are. They're not going to give away any of their secrets. You know, as I mentioned here, Chris McCloskey, AFL spokesman, would not reveal any of the ways the AFL is planning to protect itself from competitors. But there have been challenges to the AFL patent. And obviously it included a 1998 lawsuit from the now defunct Professional Indoor Football League, which became the Indoor Professional Football League, and then I think became the first incarnation of the Indoor Football League, that resulted in clarification that the AFL's patent applied only to its game system and not the entire sport of indoor football, which is true. Couldn't use the nets. But, you know, the league mentions that the AFL brand is the premier brand and the patent expiration will not affect our business. Okay. I understand that. But you're mentioning how you're trying to make sure that it doesn't get copied. And not get rid of the copier. You want to keep your AFL original. Obviously, you want to keep these things to yourselves. And that's what they're going to do. Another thing, and something totally, this actually floors me. Something totally off topic from what we're just mentioning. First of all, what do you think? Do you think that with the expiration of the patent that there's going to be some changes? Now, supposedly I'd heard that that once a patent, something becomes established, you can't reapply for the patent itself. I'm trying to find out some more information, and obviously, as you know, we here at AFL Tonight are damn proud in being able to get the information that we want. Hopefully be able to get the answers, and when we do, we'll get them to you. It mentioned also in another article that the AFL headquarters is now going to be expanding by 17 employees. It's going to be meaning a 46% increase in the league's headcount. That's crazy! What for? Now they're mentioning it's going to be for marketing, sales, team services, and communication. Okay. Marketing? Okay, I can understand that. First and foremost, the AFL shop is very subpar. Don't really have enough of the merchandise in cities that don't house a team. Good idea. Team services? Okay. Communication? I, in my honest opinion, it seems that the media services this year for the league have probably been probably one of the best, and I'm gonna in years past, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the years with Tom Goodhines, who's now with a former Arena Fan alum, who is now the Director of Communications, I think. Sorry, Tom, if I don't have your title proper. But now with the Utah Blaze. So, a lot of people. It says most of them will be based off in New York, which I can understand. That's where the league offices are. Where else are they going to have them? In their former offices in Des Plaines, Illinois? No. They're going to have them, house them in Jim Foss's garage where the AFL Hall of Fame is going to be? Could be? No. So, either way. Interesting. So I just thought you'd be interested in hearing just that. And obviously, seeing something like that, the league is going to be, they're trying to expand for some particular reason. So, well, I guess we'll have to find out what the league has in store for us, or for them. And us, I guess, we are involved, obviously, in some way, shape, or form. So we'll see what happens in the future.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Now, the AFL, obviously, has had busts before. When it comes to players who haven't lived up to their potential, et cetera, et cetera. And one of those cases happened to be Sean King. And I've mentioned it before at the very beginning of the show. He signed on as a rookie quarterback, second highest paid player in the league, second most highest paid, quarterback in the league. He does, fairly well. But then all of a sudden him and the league just parted ways. Whether it was disgruntled, whether it was, a difference of strategy or whatever. We know how much of a turmoil the team is anyways. We was let go. Sort of off topic really, but anyway, he's actually reemerged in the CFL with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Their preseason training camps do start this weekend for the CFL, and he's signed with them, and he's the Tiger Cats problems. So be it. I don't mind. He's not on my team. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Another interesting tidbit that actually occurred, and who knows what the hell is going on with this, but it looks like the Tampa Bay Storm have lost their leading receiver. And I don't know what's going on. It's come from a specific blog. Let me see here. Basically, TT walked in and said to coach Tim Markham, I don't want to play here anymore. They actually put him on the left squad list. I didn't even know that existed. I know there was an IR list. I know there was a refuse report list. An exempt list, but a left squad list. He's now, it's sort of like a, I guess, I never thought about this. He's not able to play for the Storm for the next 2 weeks. So, in essence, it's sort of like a mini IR list. Because IR is now, I think it was expanded to four weeks for 2007. Who knows what the hell happens to be? I mean, he was doing, leading receiver, 99 receptions, tied for fifth in the AFL. Who knows? Will we ever hear what specifically happened? I don't know. Maybe our illustrious leader at Arena Fan, Joe Coffin, will have some more information for us. Losing a receiver like that, 17 touchdowns, 1,193 total yards. Obviously mentioning that messages were not returned. Um, frustrated. Visibly frustrated after catching 9 passes for 84 yards in a loss to Georgia. He did practice on Tuesday, but according to Coach Markham, after practice he wanted to quit. So, is it a rift between the two? Coach Markham pissed him off. Coach Markham tried to sell him a boat. I don't know. For a team that has rebounded from such a horrible start this year, this could easily hurt their chances. Not necessarily to make the playoffs, but just hurt their chances from going beyond that. Now, mind you, we have seen that from one game to the next, you know, a good example in San Jose, you know, with Ben Nelson hurt, they were able to have somebody step up and have career games. Tampa Bay is going to need somebody like that. So, you know, always call, you know, Coach Markham to the end. I think he doesn't understand what left squad means. He thinks he's just going to go to somewhere else to a playoff team. He's still our property. Now this wasn't like the old, it was Nashville and Orlando, and it was, they let him go. I'm sure you are all just screaming at the computer. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Who I'm talking about. Dale Hammond? I'd have to, it's the last time, it just happened so recently. I should know specifically who this is. I mean, it's, God, forget it. Even after doing all the searching that we're usually a crack staff here. I don't, for some reason I'm thinking it is Hammond, but anyways, if you know, please, you're a Predators fan, email me. I really am curious to know who it was done, but either way, with the way they're talking about it, Oliver is still property of the Storm. He won't be showing up on any other team anytime soon.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Well, history could be made this weekend in the Arena Football League. If you are keeping track of how well Joe Germain has been playing this year, not only him, but Chris Greese and also the Georgia Force, both these two quarterbacks right now do have the best possibility of breaking the century mark when it comes to throwing touchdowns. And first up in line happens to be, below please, happens to be a Joe Germain. Joe Germain can become one of, right now only, he could become the fourth quarterback to throw for 100 touchdowns in a season. Greeson also has a chance right now with Joe Germain has 92 touchdowns heading into the week. Chris Greeson has 88. So with 4 games left, there's almost a very good possibility that both these quarterbacks will reach that. And right now, Germain is on a pace to totally shatter the record that Clint Dozell set last year. Crazy amount. I mean, obviously, it is a 105 set by Dozell last year. So it's going to be interesting to see. We could easily have, we've had so many quarterbacks join the 800 club when it comes to their passing touchdowns. We can now have quarterbacks reaching the 100 club in an overall season. So good luck to you guys, and we'll be. I'm sure all of us will be watching, but we'll be back in our heads. I'm sure it'll be brought up, on the whichever network the show may be, the game may be broadcast on and whatnot. So, the information will be there. So it's just a matter of we'll actually be brought up. I'm sure they'll say pass for 100 touchdowns, yada yada. But yeah. Speaking of networks and et cetera, we got Interesting scenario this week, speaking of Georgia and whatnot, we actually have this week's playoff scenarios for week 14 in the Arena Football League. We can actually have a grand total of 6 teams clinch a playoff spot of some sort. Five teams. Interesting how it could actually come about. The easiest one, it would be Georgia. Georgia themselves can go ahead and clinch the divisional title with a win and an Orlando loss. So it's, you know, there will be, I'm sure, a little bit of a scoreboard watching, especially since Orlando plays on Friday night this week. It's very, you know, they could actually, all they have to do is win the game. Georgia would have to beat Columbus, and they win the division. Easiest way to, they may not have to do a damn thing to get in. Orlando, on the other hand, can actually clinch a playoff spot, but it comes down to different weird scenarios, a grand total of 6. Anything from, obviously, an Orlando win, Columbus loss, Philly loss, Columbus loss, New York loss, Philly loss, New York loss, Tampa loss, Philly loss, Tampa loss, Columbus loss, Tampa loss, New York loss. There will be a test at the end of the show. In the American Conference, San Jose, very simple. Two ways. San Jose wins, they're in. Easiest scenario. They don't, an LA loss, and a Utah loss. Now, mind you, San Jose is playing on Friday night, and they play the aforementioned Orlando Predators. So, it may be a totally moot point by the time that occurs. Colorado, on the other hand, all they gotta do this weekend is win. And they're in. Interesting team who can make the playoffs this week is Kansas City. And it comes down to two scenarios for the Brigade. Kansas City wins and a Utah loss. Or Kansas City wins and an LA loss. So, let's see. LA, they got Chicago, could happen. Utah has Colorado. See, it becomes interesting there, too. Colorado on Monday needs to win and they're in. So, these next couple weeks are going to be very, very interesting. In determining who will be in the Mitsubishi Drive to Arena Bowl 21, God. Horrible. Talked about it an infinitum already here, folks. Crazy. So those are the playoff scenarios for this week in the Arena Football League. And since we're at it, we might as well go ahead and talk about it. Speaking of games of the week, we always basically started on who can get where and whatnot. Here's the schedule for week 14 in the Arena Football League. On Friday, you have Dallas playing Philadelphia, an NFL rivalry, whatever you want to call it, the Eastern rivalry. Philadelphia is playing a lot better since they got Graziani back. Dallas, they're not as high-potent offense as they were. I mean, we're not talking the 60-7 shellacking or whatever it was first week of the season. But should be a very good game nonetheless. It seems like this rivalry is matching the Cowboy-Eagles rivalry in the NFL. Aforementioned Orlando at San Jose at 10:30 on Friday. Saturday, New York Dragons have been playing also a lot better with Aaron Garcia under the helm. And he is that much closer also to becoming, the, as we mentioned before, the next quarterback to reach the 800 club. And, oh, this is, here it is. Just handed to me. Garcia can break that barrier this weekend. So funny, you know, it's a great segue that we got this information right as we were mentioning it to you. Can break the 800 touchdown barrier and become the next quarterback to join that club, to join Dozell, to join Bonner, to join Kelly. So he'll become the fourth quarterback to join the 800 touchdown club. He only needs 5 touchdowns versus the Austin Wranglers, and if he passes as many touchdowns as he did last week, he will join that with a bang. Oh, you know, it's coming. I mean, he should have been, I think, the first quarterback to reach 800, but because of his very bad injury and him being out for basically a year, sort of stalled his drive to 800. Yeah. Kansas City goes to Grand Rapids, the team that shocked the world in sweeping the season series from the Colorado Crush. We also have Columbus. We also have Columbus going to Georgia. Georgia wants to keep pace with the Dallas Desperados and possibly overtake them for the number one seed in the conference. Tampa Bay goes to New Orleans. New Orleans needs to get off their losing streak. They're not playing well as of late, and they are this much closer, even though, according to the league, every single team right now, even the lowly Las Vegas Gladiators, are still eligible to make the playoffs. Everybody seems to be still in contention. How somebody can be 2-10 and still in contention for the playoffs is totally mind-boggling, or whatever their record is. Tampa Bay is going to be without wide receiver T.T. Tolliver because he decided to go home and to take his ball and go home. Chicago goes to L.A. A very interesting matchup. Right now, as of this broadcast, Bobby Scipio is only listed as probable to play, and he was listed as probable last week and did not play at all. But this is a Chicago Rush team that has been able to overcome this adversity, especially with Scipio being out and him being on, you know, such a huge pace here with his touchdowns and whatnot. You know, consecutive games with 5 touchdowns, or most games in a year with 5 touchdowns scored, caught. They came out and showed, you know, basically that they are more than just a one wide receiver team. I guess we can put that. It's something that the Colorado Crush needed to do this year, when Damien Harrell was, on the lam. But it should be a good game nonetheless, because I will admit Sonny Cumbie has become a very big surprise in the Arena Football League. Arizona, Las Vegas. Arizona travels to Sin City. I really don't know. If we were to choose a game that was the worst of the week, it probably could be this one. I don't think there can be any game as bad as this. And last but not least, on Monday night, by the way, it was a Rattlers game, and Rattlers Gladiators was Sunday. And on Monday night, ESPN2, ESPN360, Colorado, Utah. Should be a good game. I mean, Utah, they still, for some reason, have not been able to get their defense in order and be able to stop teams when necessary. But in the last week, they did pull that huge upset versus the Orlando Predators. So maybe things are turning around. And obviously, Joe Germain, Sia Burley, probably one of the biggest 1-2 tandems in the league this year, next to, Mike Perez, Eddie Brown, Mike Pawlowski, Eddie Brown, of the Albany Firebirds. That's going way back, isn't it? AFL game of the week. AFL Tonight game of the week. We, you know, as we've already come up on, which is a total crap game, a total crapshoot. But probably the very interesting game could be Dallas Philly, could be Colorado Utah. We're sort of undecided when we took the poll this morning on which game we were going to choose. So I'm going to go ahead and make be the tiebreaker. Yeah, I already know I got a vote. I'm going to get another one. We're going to go ahead and call Monday's game, Colorado Utah, as the game of the week. Can have huge implications for a lot of the teams making the playoffs and clinching a playoff spot for the 07 playoff run. Well, we have, you know, last year, and I really wish that we had the information really available, because it's something that we usually pride ourselves on. Magic 8 Ball, you know, the AFL Pick'em Supremacy was actually quite interesting last year. Magic 8 Ball, you know, started off very, very well, but ended up fading. This year has been just totally horrible for the 8 Ball. Had, you know, spurts of brilliance and whatnot, but other than that, it's just been sort of a mediocre year. Unless 8 Ball totally basically loses his water, breaks open his hard casing, it should end up over 500. But right now, as of this week, humans rule. Woohoo! Humans rule. 8 Ball last week had a 500 over 500 week at 5-4. But as I mentioned before, is still in last place. The 8 Ball is currently listed at 61-55, and is placed 117th overall. I am second overall. I went 6-3. Everybody went over 500 for the week. If you want to keep track, and a lot of people have from seeing the hits for the thread specifically for it, head over to the Arena Fan message boards. Go over to the Human versus 8 Ball Pick'em thread and chime in or keep track. Lastly, this week we have, past couple of weeks we've not been able to, because we didn't broadcast, but we have been keeping track of one particular thing and trying to see how well or how poorly the new rules have done this year as far as curtailing scoring. I'm sure everybody knows the entire history, so we're not gonna get into it into much detail. But I can tell you, 2 weeks ago, the entire season, all teams have been averaging more than 100 points per week. Week 11 was the first week all this year that there was not an average of 100 points scored in a game. It happens, but, hey, what can you do? I mean, looking at the different scores here, it didn't happen happened more last year than anything else, but this year, every single week, so 12 out of 13 weeks, it's been an average of over 100 points per game. Last week, back over the 1,000-point mark overall for the first time in 6 weeks. Average of 112 points per game. For the season, averaging 107.6 points per game. Compared to 2006 at the same time, 101.2 points per game. So scoring is up 6.5 points overall. Just less than a touchdown, just a little bit more than two field goals. But it's still almost 650 more points that have been scored this year compared to last. and who knows what type of spin, if any, that's going to be put onto it. Let them talk as much as they want. Oh, it's good for the league. Oh, it's good for this. Da 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 da. Let them talk as much as they want. But it's free substitution may have been a positive, it may have been negative, but it's been a bust as far as what they originally had intended it to be, was a great big downer in scoring for the league. So we'll keep track of that. As I said before at the beginning of the show, we do hope to be here for the rest of the season. I want to thank you for your patience, obviously, while I was able to get my sanity back. And, this is the time of the year where it can be very, very interesting. Join us if you can, join us in the Arena Fan chat room, listen to the games, on web radio, watch them on AFLNet, watch them on your local affiliate, watch them wherever you can. Should be some great football coming up over the next couple of weeks. So that's it for this week's edition of AFL Tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them my way at tim.capper@arenafan.com. And we'll hopefully be able to get your point, your messages, and whatnot out to the masses over the World Wide Web. Also, I want to thank everybody here at the crack staff at AFL Tonight for getting all the information that we have brought to you this week and every week during the season. So we'll see you here, hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers. I want to be here next week. I thought this week went pretty good. So we will speak to you very soon. Same broadcast time, same podcast time, same podcast place. I'm Tim Capper. This was AFL Tonight. Watch the rebounds off the nets.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.